This is Studio 809 Podcasts, informing, connecting, and empowering the residents of the Pikes Peak region.
Arts Month.
Tourism dollars.
Utility rates are up.
And city council districts are being redrawn.
All that and more on this episode of Loving the Springs, the podcast where we celebrate the best and elevate the rest.
Welcome to Loving the Springs, the podcast that celebrates the best of Colorado Springs and strives to elevate the rest.
We're coming to you from the Studio 809 Community Podcast Studio at the Next Us, a professional cooperative environment for small businesses in downtown Colorado Springs.
And you know what, Al? We've got so much to cover in this episode that we're going to go straight to our special guest first.
I think we should.
So, Dylan Craddock.
Yes.
With the Cultural Office of the Pikes Peak Region, your program manager?
Of Creative Economy.
Of Creative Economy, mm-hmm. That's right. Because you guys have got multiple departments down there
we
now.
We do, yes.
You're so busy.
Mm-hmm. Hey, wait a second. I want to understand this creative economy. What does that mean? What is it limited to?
Yeah, so we have three program verticals that were kind of revamped once Angela Seals, our executive director, came back about 2 years ago. So we have cultural promotion and tourism, and that's, you know, peakradar.com and working with Visit COS and really analyzing how we get more tourists out and about enjoying our art scene. And then there's my program, which is new. I've been at the cultural office for a year and a half. And I like to describe it as all things business and arts. So whether that's connecting small businesses to new resources, I convene a creative sector partnership to work on shared solutions and issues. And then I also run Arts Month, which I know we're going to talk about. And then we have education. And so Melissa really works closely with our K through 12 schools and getting creatives connected to leadership opportunities and things like that.
I'm a cyclist and I usually take my wife and other people and we ride from art installation to art installation around the downtown area.
Yeah.
Who does that?
A variety of artists. Downtown specifically would be art on the streets.
Okay. Not the artist, but
yeah.
Who's the organization within
Yeah.
That makes that happen.
Downtown Partnership. Downtown Ventures, the creative and nonprofit arm of the Downtown Partnership. And that's, I'm not sure how long it's run, but it's run for a very long time and it's super successful. We love partnering with them. So
excellent.
Yeah.
I'm always amazed at where and what is placed around the city.
Totally, totally.
So for the uninitiated, why do we have a cultural office?
Yeah.
What is that all about?
So a cultural office is, you know, a local arts agency. It's the advocacy arm for all things arts and culture. A lot of times it'll be a government entity. So if you look at cities like Chicago or Austin, where they're doing a lot of like creative placemaking or things like that, they'll frequently be inside of a government. But they're also frequently nonprofits, which is what we are. We serve El Paso and Teller County, and we're really on the 30,000 foot view of the sector, advocating for more funding, more resources, getting creatives connected to the things that they're looking for.
Why? Why do we need all this artsy-fartsy stuff?
It's a great question. No, I think arts and culture make communities better, right? And that's why the message for Arts Month this year is unite your world with the arts, because we also really believe that arts and culture bring people together in ways that are special and unique and can only really be done by the arts. They make communities more whole.
It reminds me of the STEM versus STEAM battle that goes on, STEM being science, technology, engineering, and math. And then when you add the A, it becomes culture.
Yeah.
Up until then, it's like, those are the subjects you hated, but they're necessary. But the art makes it beautiful. It makes it a reason to be in a place. So steam on.
Yes, absolutely.
No charge for that testimonial there.
I know, that's good.
I think we should give a quick commercial for Peak Radar. That's one of your most well-known things, right?
Mm-hmm. So it's a community cultural calendar for the Pikes Peak region. It has over 3,000 events listed on there annually, and it's a totally free service to the community. So if you're needing help promoting your event or maybe need some low-cost advertising, we do things like that. But really, it's the best way to get connected in the Pikes Peak region. I mean, Jonathan, who runs that program, he curates a list every week of events and what's going on. So we make it as low barrier as possible to find the things you're interested in.
So I want to register a complaint about that. You said 3,000 events a year. I am really struggling. I'm only making it to about 2,560.
I know. Jeez.
You got me beat, and I try hard.
Well, and there's just there's over 200 in October alone for Arts Month. So we recognize that there's always something to do.
So kudos to you. Oh,
because Halloween is actually a month.
Yes. Spooky season.
Yeah. So why Arts Month? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so it's National Arts and Humanities Month. We line our celebration up with the rest of the country, and it's a really great moment to shine a spotlight on all the things going on, not only locally, but all over our country. You know, it's one of our biggest industries. I think, I don't want to get the statistic wrong, but 4.4% of our GDP in 2021, I want to say. So it's a major industry all over the country. And locally, we've been celebrating for 11 years. This year, given that's an election year, we decided to lean in a little bit and go with a Unite Your World with the Arts theme.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. Not telling anyone to change their personal beliefs, but encouraging people to see the arts as a way to bring your, you know, community back together in times of division. You know, there's a, Angela, my boss loves to tell this story about how they did a study of people who were at a symphony, and their heart rates start to beat at the same rate. So even like your body responds to arts in a way that connects you with other people.
Yeah. So good on you for, you know, you had to do so much virtual art during COVID, but I don't see that you're trying really hard to stay virtual. We need people to get together.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're recording this on October 11th, and by the time you're listening to this out there in podcast listener land, we're halfway through the month of October. So there's there's a lot that's happened. We've missed some parties and stuff already.
But that's the best part is Halloween, and it's yet to come.
There's plenty of Halloween to enjoy, too. But we actually divide the month into theme weeks to make it even more easy to find the things you're interested in, and also to demonstrate just how much there is to explore. So the first week is visual and culinary arts, because I always like to say that culinary arts are one of the lowest barrier ways to engage with an arts organization. So say you just want to try a new cuisine, you're having a cultural experience by doing that. The next week, which we are in at the time of the recording, is theater and film, one of my favorites. I love films. I'm really looking forward to Rocky Mountain Women's Film next week.
Yeah, man.
Yes. And then poetry, prose, and comedy. Always a good time to go check out the written word, see a comedy show, maybe interact with Poetry 719 in some way. You know, you don't have to be a good poet to write a poem, you know? And then the final week is music and dance.
Okay. It might be unfair, but we're going to ask you if there's a couple of things that you really want to highlight that people should sometime in the last 2 weeks put on their calendar.
Yeah, totally. Well, you know, I might not be a good example of an arts patron because I will usually check artsoctober.com and be like, oh, that's what's going on this weekend. So I'll do that now. I don't tend to plan ahead. But one of the cool things you can do, and we want to send you to artsoctober.com, is check out our event feeds. So truly anything you're looking for will be on artsoctober.com. I already mentioned Rocky Mountain Women's Film. That's one of my favorites. I hope I haven't missed the three nights of horror the Independent Film Society of Colorado puts on. Those are super fun. I always enjoy going to the Fine Arts Center. They've got a great new exhibit right now. And you know, the Ent Center has some fun shows too. So I just think get out and try a new neighborhood. You'll find something new. So,
and boy, just go to peakradar.com.
Exactly. Yes, totally.
Who pays your salary?
Well, as a nonprofit, we're funded by a variety of different sources. So we do receive city funding, but we also are funded by private foundations, public foundations, and donations. So that's all on our website, culturaloffice.org, if you're curious.
So if you're falling in love with Dylan right here listening to this podcast, you can actually just head to that website and make a donation if you want.
Yes, absolutely. Support, you know, the arts and culture work and this new mission of the Cultural Office, which is really to, you know, support our creative sector the best we can.
Or bring visitors in that are going to stay in hotels and rent cars, and that will do it too.
Spend money.
Yeah, you know, I don't get all that excited about the money. I can't believe it's that much of GDP, but there are people who get excited about money being spent. So you've got to have to make that part of the pitch.
Well, I can tell you locally, we do a study called Arts and Economic Prosperity Study every 5 years with Americans for the Arts, which is like the federal version of us. They're looking at the whole country and what they need to do for arts advocacy. And that study measures the economic impact of arts nonprofits, because a lot of people don't think nonprofits have an economic impact. They think they're taking resources, shall we say. Some might say that. But actually, locally, just 86 nonprofits participated this last year we did it, and it equated an $184 million impact. And that's just, you know, like 86 nonprofits. Imagine if it were all 300.
Well, I want to move on to some other subjects, but first I want to give you a chance to throw something else in if there's something we haven't asked you about that's really important.
I mean, I think we covered a lot of great things. All I'll say is if you're interested in learning more about Arts Month, please visit artsoctober.com. There's tons of resources on there, whether you're looking for events this year or also to sign up to be an arts advocate and you want to learn more about, you know, what's going on at the state level, what's going on with the cultural office. We'll sign you up there. And we might have some yard signs left over if you want a Unite Your World with the Arts yard sign. So reach out.
I've got a question.
Yes.
So if you go to Chicago and you're looking for art, and you're going to stay on a street, it's the Bean. Mm-hmm. Everybody goes to the Bean.
Yeah.
What is the Bean in Colorado Springs?
Ooh, great question. I mean, I think our public art downtown is just so striking. My personal favorite right now is the Kissing Camels mural on the side of Henley's Quay on Boulder Street. It is such a great, cute little cheeky mural. I just think it's so fun.
I have to go see it.
Yeah.
I've been right by there and it's not standing out. Uh-huh.
Is there a mural tour?
There is. The Downtown Partnership puts one on. So you can do a public art tour or you can do self-guided. And if you come by the cultural office, we have public art maps. So.
Well, let's get together in November and start planning a podcast-only theme week for next year.
Okay, great. Yeah. I'd call you a creative industry, so it counts.
Yeah, and I know podcasts fit into the spoken word category there. Yeah,
totally.
Is Copper still in Plaza of the Rockies?
Or? We are.
Okay,
yep.
That's what I thought. Mm-hmm.
And Norwood just put in like 3 or 4 new Humpty Dumpties, so you should definitely check those out on the Plaza of the Rockies.
Yes.
Love those.
Uh-huh. They're everywhere.
Yes.
And a shout out to Angela. I hope Angela Seals will listen to this because she wants to check up on how her staff's doing. Angela was a podcaster here at Studio 809 Podcast. Mm-hmm. She did Peak Radar Live later.
Yes.
And I keep hoping that one of these days we'll have a regular podcast from Copper of some sort.
Oh, we love it.
The door is open to that when you guys can swing it.
Oh, well, thank you.
Anything upcoming that we should... Rocky Mountain Women's Film is coming, and I've got tickets for that. So,
well, there's going to be an Arts Month... I guess this will air afterwards, but there is an Arts Month concert on the 12th at Panorama Park for kids. There's going to be some Arts Month activities. We're doing it with Anthem Music Enterprises and Deerfield Community Center.
So if you've got a DeLorean that's a time machine, hop in that, go back to October 12th.
I can't emphasize enough, artsoctober.com to find your events. So.
Otherwise, just go to Panorama Park, which is extremely cool.
It's so cool.
Yes.
All right. Moving along, we've got a few news items that we want to talk about. In our last episode, we mentioned that council was about to be asked to vote as utilities board on a utilities rate increase, and they did vote to approve it. And in fact, they voted 9-0. How often does that happen these days? It was unanimous.
It actually happens often when it comes to utility rate increases.
Yeah.
Because as the board, there are very few surprises for the city council members. So they know it's coming, and they've had their hands in how it's going to happen. So when they vote, it's usually unanimous for that. One of the things that I think all of our listeners should understand is the rates go up in two pieces.
This is great. Listen to this, because this is why I love Al. Al doesn't ever just accept what's on the surface.
If you listen to the news, it'll say the average customer is going to be affected by this dollar amount. But you got to ask yourself, are you the average customer? And with a lot of single people in our community, both elderly and young people who are single for whatever reason, they are bearing a larger brunt as an individual as a family or larger group of people would. And here's how it works. There is a daily access fee, and there is a commodity charge. And oftentimes, the daily access fee goes up significantly, and the commodity fee goes up more reasonably. Not always, but often.
The daily access fee is regardless of if you used zero.
That's correct. Okay. So I haven't calculated it, but it's significant. I'm going to say it's close to $85 a month.
The four utilities?
The four utilities. So
wow.
If you use water, gas, electric, and wastewater, which most of us don't think of as a commodity, but it is a service that we get, the cost for that is about $85, and I really should check that. Then the rest of your bill is what you consume. And if you're single, if you're a small user, it may be half of your bill, it may be a third of your bill. Whereas if you're a large family with a large house using a lot of water to water your grass and do things like that, it may be 20% of your bill.
So you're getting a group discount.
Yes. So if you're the type of person that would love to go to Costco, but you think, I don't have a refrigerator big enough for Costco, I can't use the amounts, the quantities that they sell before they go bad. So you choose not because you don't want the good deal, but you just can't use the quantity. And that is called a regressive tax. And so a sales tax, it's regressive. So we pile on these regressive things. And I'm just saying we should look at utilities harder. When I was attempting to become a city council member, that was one of my issues. And that's back in 2005. And nothing much has really changed. So as I grow older and realize that more and more of my friends end up single because their spouses pass away, it becomes a thing. And I think the people who have the least flexibility in the ability to pay end up paying the most when it comes to daily access fee.
Especially for seniors. And I guess
I am one. We're getting there.
Yeah. And, you know, our house is pretty dark at night because we're in one room and that's where the light's on. So, the less
you choose to use, the higher the access fee is in per unit that you consume.
Yeah, and I suppose we would all be more incentivized to conserve if more of our bill was commodity charge.
Absolutely. So if you think about gasoline, which most of us can, the higher the price of gas, for most of us, we start to think, do I really make that trip or do I say, I can take a bike, I can walk, or I can just not do the trip. But when gas is cheap, you buy larger vehicles, you take unnecessary trips because it's not a big factor in your life and you just move on. So it's an option. It's something to look at. And it's something to understand when the utility prices go up is who voted for what and do they have my best interest in mind? So
I was just having coffee with my mom this morning, and we were talking about the price of gas, and I made this shocking statement to her. Let me know what you think. Getting a little bit on a sidetrack, but we love tangents here. We're only paying part of the cost of gas, and I told her the people in Florida are paying another part of the cost of gas. That we ought to have on attached to each gallon of gas, we ought to have a wildfire, severe storm, and flood fee. And all that money should go to FEMA to fund the billions of tax dollars that we're having to spend to deal with these two, you know, horrific hurricane events. And my sympathy to the people that are in the brunt of that, even as we're recording. But they're almost like a glimpse of the future. They are paying the price for all of the gas that we're burning today and the gas that we burned 10 years ago. Those storms wouldn't have been so severe if we hadn't been emitting so much carbon dioxide into the atmosphere all this time.
I believe it was Marjorie Taylor Greene that said the government is controlling the weather. Most initial reactions is that's impossible. But through policies, we have enabled the fossil fuel industry to do what it is doing, and we're all addicted in some way to petroleum, all of us, as much as we'd like to not be.
Yeah.
If you've touched a piece of plastic today, and I guarantee you have, you're part of the issue. And so maybe she's correct, not the way she's trying to make it sound. But yeah, through our policies, we're definitely putting the people in Florida and North Carolina at risk, and us too. Denver had its hottest year or summer ever. And if you've been up in Denver lately, like yesterday, it's really smoky because it's a basin. If you remember 30 years ago, it was smog covered almost all the time.
You could
not see the mountains in Denver. And we cleaned it up. We did things that made it better. And now it's getting worse again. And we're seeing smoke, but Denver is more of a basin, and it really does get the inversions that just sit there. So it's a reality.
Yep. So moving right along, the city's in the middle of redistricting for the city council districts right now, and they did release the initial redistricting map. We'll put a link in the show notes to where you can go and take a look at that. And the city clerk, Sarah Johnson, she's great. She really wants residents to review the plan. She wants their feedback, and they're having a public meeting on October 30th at 3:30 p.m. at the City Administration Building. All of that information is also on the page that we'll put a link in the show notes to, so we encourage you to get involved and check that out. If there's something you might complain about in the future, it's not too late to have an impact on that, perhaps.
Equity versus inclusion is always the kind of the battle that you go through. And obviously you want to separate the quantity of people and distribute it equally. But where you draw those lines to do that becomes a political issue for those two reasons. You either want everybody to be treated the same, or you want people to have the same access to the good that city can provide. I think more focus on equity when we do things and not just equality. Everybody should have a curb. Okay, everybody should have access to curb cuts. I know with the 2C, there's a lot of resistance to them building sidewalks with 2C money. But everybody can use the sidewalk. And a lot of people need to use the sidewalk. So if you never use the sidewalk because you only go places in your car, you think, why have sidewalks? And we have many people in our community, that's how they feel.
Yeah, and there have been a few great letters to the editor in the Gazette lately about 2C, pointing out the fact that without sidewalks and curbs and gutters, the asphalt falls apart. So you can't just take care of the asphalt and ignore the concrete.
Or ignore the people. I mean, a city is about bringing interchanges closer together. We're not really supposed to be building exurbs as a city. We have been, but we want a dense urban core and then people to move about quickly and efficiently in that urban core. That's what cities do. So if that's what we're going to build and have art, I mean, everybody can see the art and enjoy it.
All right.
That's what it's about.
Yeah.
Next up on our news list, our mayor, Yemi Mambalati, is inviting residents who are interested in being civic leaders to apply for the Mayor's Civic Leaders Fellowship. And that's an opportunity to learn firsthand how city government operates. The Mayor's Civic Leaders Fellowship is open for applications until October 30th, so you've just got a couple of weeks left.
I'm actually in the current class, so I can tell you it's really, really awesome.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah, yeah, I've really enjoyed it. I've learned a ton about different city departments, and I feel like as a young person, you know, you don't always know how to approach cities, and you know, I've lived in different places. It's maybe easier, maybe harder, and particularly in this program, I just feel like I've learned so much that I'm going to benefit from as I continue to live in this community, so I cannot recommend it enough.
Do you know what the age range is in your class?
That's a great question. I would say probably as young as 25 and as old as 50, 55, somewhere okay. in there. It's very diverse. And sector-wise, it's incredibly diverse. I mean, we've got like planners and, you know, arts and culture folks, like music producers, things like that, but also teachers and nonprofit heads. And I just feel like I've learned a ton, not only from the program, but also the people that are in it. So,
excellent.
Yeah.
That's great. And if you're curious about it, I guess it's a commitment to meet once a month from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. So there's that time commitment, but just once a month for 4 hours and a few outside activities beyond that, I think, too.
Yeah, a little volunteering. We got to read some books, and there's a capstone project element to it, too, which I don't know if they will continue that, but I've super enjoyed that. So hope they do.
Cool.
What was your capstone project?
I've been working with Councilwoman Henjum on activating the Citadel Mall. We're in a group of about three or four. We did a community conversation there a few weeks ago and have been working on a couple events and working a little more closely with the mall management on how to get people back in there. So, yeah.
Maybe you'll be back in here sometime talking about Citadel Mall.
I could do that.
What
yes.
an interesting subject. Yeah.
Well, I can mention something. There used to be an ice skating rink.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking Chapel Hills, right?
Not Citadel. I think there was one in the Citadel.
There was definitely one in Chapel Hills. So I just realized I'm crisscrossing those. But ice time in this community was just really valuable. There wasn't that much ice and people were clamoring. So there were people like 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning playing hockey or ice skating. And then they got rid of that and it became Dick's Sporting Goods. That's at the Chapel Hills Mall. We don't have that much ice, but I got to admit, I was up in Estes Park, and I believe this is a crime against humanity. They have a beautiful skating rink that we have two of. We have one in El Pomar Youth Sports Complex Park, and we have one in Cottonwood Creek Park. These municipal roller skating rinks. They're not ice skating, they're roller skating. They were built as hockey rinks, but roller skating is a thing. But because of demographics in Estes Park, they took this perfect skating rink and they resurfaced it and made it pickleball court.
Oh.
And I thought, my God, what have you done? Not to build more pickleball courts, but obviously the community is adapting to what the people are using, pickleball courts. So maybe pickleball courts are the thing to put at the mall.
I remember there used to be an ice skating rink right outside your office.
Oh, yes. Was there? Okay.
You're too young to remember that.
I think it might be a little too young.
There was an ice skating rink in that Plaza of the Rockies.
It was windows that were half. So you had like the ice skating rink wall. Mm-hmm. And then it was windows looking out onto Tejon.
Yeah.
You could actually see the people skating, or you could see the people on Tejon. I used to skate there. I missed that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then our last big news item that we might chat about a little bit is that the council did approve this LART funding budget for 2025. And that's generated a little bit of heat, maybe more so than I've noticed in recent years. Revenue from the lodgers and automobile rental tax is about $10 million annually generated by a 2% tax on lodging and a 1% tax on rental cars. And they distribute the funds. Some of that goes to copper. Some of that goes to events that fit the criteria of attracting visitors and enhancing the economy of Colorado Springs. And apparently this budget that they just approved, far fewer events got funding than last year, which is raising some eyebrows. And some of the eyebrows are raised over the fact that the Pikes Peak Pride Festival, I think, got an increase in funding and some other things got cut out of the budget. There were 87 applicants, only 18 were successful. The Western Street Breakfast, the Festival of Lights Parade, and the Pikes Peak Bus Rodeo get zero next year. So some people are not.
So here's an opportunity for our strong mayor to make a stand on what and how he would like to see the city shape. So I could argue any which way you want to use those funds. You could distribute it equitably amongst the different groups of people in town. You could pick times of the year. You could actually say whoever has the most impact from a business standpoint purely. If you bring in, like Formula One did in Las Vegas, they're doing it again. They actually rebuilt the city to run a bunch of cars through the city in the billions of dollars they spent. And they said it was worth it. They're doing it again. So investment for the return on investment is definitely one of the ways to do that. Or you could look at equitableness. I'm a participant in the Pride Parade. I'm a participant in the Veterans Parade, the Festival of Lights Parade. You get the feeling I like parades? So I'm all for these parades, but the last Veterans Parade, the turnout was pretty small.
Among spectators or participants?
Spectators. Okay. So if people aren't coming to see something, then you have to ask the question, is this the right time? Is it necessary? And people put a lot of effort into the parade and into their entry in the parade. And if people aren't showing up, it's like art. If you have a great art piece and you put it in a great space, but nobody comes to see it, something's not working, and the value of it is questionable. It may not have gone away, but it's questionable. So I would like to see economic impact by the investment. And hopefully, we have a changing demographic around the city. We should be seeing East Asian events. we should be seeing Hispanic events. The Pride Festival and the Pride Parade was phenomenal. And I was in this parade and I was in the one in Denver. And it has to generate, and I believe it did. I think the numbers, it was one of the largest business days in the Tejon area of the entire year. You got a lot of people coming from outside the community, which is what you want for tourism.
Well, and I should point out that there's no funding going to the parade, just to the Pride Festival. But
so however you do it, I don't want to get into the nitty-gritty, but I think the mayor should have a strong emphasis, because you can't get it right and you can't get it wrong. So he might as well get it the way he wants it. And that's why we elected him. He's a collaborator and he'll do good things. But he needs to say, this is what I want it to look like.
That's one thing I miss about the good old days when the mayor was at every city council meeting, you know, before we went to this stupid strong mayor system.
It is what it is, and we have to work with it.
Yeah.
But if we have a strong mayor, then the strong mayor has to act like a strong mayor and say, this is what's important to me. If you don't like what's important to me, vote me out, and the next person can come up with what they want. But yeah, this is how we're going to take that money, and hopefully he's into the arts, and hopefully he's into the culture, because as far as I'm concerned, that's what draws people.
I'd love to see the criteria not just include return on investment, community building. I don't know if there's something in the mission of that tax that requires it be more economic development focused. I don't know. But I hate for it to just be, let's count the dollars. And if it's not a return on investment, but the community shows up, they love it, and everybody gets together and has good FaceTime, that's not enough. I'd like to think that's enough.
Well, you're old enough to remember Springfest, which was on Monument Creek, and we had the little duck races. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that detail, no, but...
And there were vendors along the trail, along the creek, and then we moved that. It morphed into other things. Getting community, I think Territory Day is a good example. Place is packed. It works. We should do things like that.
Yeah. Well, and interestingly, Fiestas Patrias, the Hispanic Heritage Festival, their funding got cut in half. I don't think that's good news. But I would definitely pick a little bit on the people who just have a problem with Pride Festival getting funding just because they're uncomfortable.
The arguments reminded me of back in the, 1992 or so, when we took the preemptive shot across the bow saying gay people can't do anything. It's hard for me to conceive that this is still what we're worrying about in 2024, whether LGBT people can march in a parade in our community, because it doesn't meet the community's values. If you're at the parade, it's meeting a lot of people's values. So.
Yeah, but I can see how some people would be a little uncomfortable.
So don't go to the parade.
Yeah.
I don't like to go to the breakfast because all the horse poop in the street. what is the name of that breakfast?
The pancake breakfast?
The pancake breakfast, but it's the...
Colorado Springs Western Pancake.
Pete's or Bus Rodeo Breakfast. Yes, that one.
Yeah. I don't go to that.
It's not that I don't like rodeos and things. I just don't like eating one. Horse poop all over the
place. I just don't get that excited about cowboys and horses.
Okay.
But I don't go to the Veterans Parade either, because I really honor their service to the country, but the military isn't one of my favorite subjects either.
Right after, and I want to say it was Desert Storm, I may be getting my wars mixed up. It might have been 9/11. Somewhere in that window, there was this huge amount of people wearing American flags, this we love America, not just love Colorado Springs, but we love America. And the number of people, the quantity of people that showed up to that Veterans Parade was off the charts. It was huge. I would hope that people support veterans, especially in this community where a large percentage of the community
are
veterans. But every year, and I've had an entry in the Veterans Parade for over a decade, I think I'm close to 15 years, getting people to even participate in the entry has gotten harder and harder to do.
Does it cost you money to be in?
It does not. Okay. So it's free for the participants. You have to meet certain criteria, but it's not challenging. But you do have to be there, and you have to be there on time. And if you've ever noticed that early November, it's cold in the morning. So you have to wait, formed up, waiting for the parade to start.
That's the main reason I haven't been going. I forgot about that. Same with Festival of Lights. Festival of Lights, I've frozen my fanny off at that parade.
But other communities like Minneapolis has the Loppet. And the whole event is in the wintertime. It's on ice. And people love it. So it's not just a cold, but to participate, to wait for the parade to start, it takes a while.
That's pretty neat. If I was raising a kid or two, I'd be taking them down there for that.
And this may take longer than we have, but having participated in the Denver Pride Parade and the Colorado Springs Pride Parade, the politicalness of both parades was totally different. And I highly appreciated being in our community for that reason. So there was no negative that I saw. Usually there's the people who are saying you're going to go to hell. And blah. If it was there, I missed it. And it may have been.
Peace activists or?
In Denver, it was the pro-Palestinian protesters that interrupted the Queers for Palestine parade, which got really confusing to me. But for whatever reason, the news did not cover it. And I was really wondering what happened, because I only got the snippet of me going by the protest in the parade, and then I came back around to watch the parade, because the parade is so long. The parade was interrupted by protesters that I assume are on the same side as many of the people protesting, but it was hard to understand what was going on. We didn't have that in this community. It was a beautiful parade here in Colorado Springs.
Well, we live in a beautiful community, and a lot of the people are beautiful, and thank you out there for being a beautiful person.
Yeah.
You must be a beautiful person if you're listening to Loving the Springs, for sure, and enjoying Arts Month, hopefully. I don't have a lot of events to share as we close this episode, but the election is coming up, and so I do want to mention again that the League of Women Voters of the Pikes Peak region is doing really wonderful work. They're halfway through their series of candidate forums, which are live in-person events, but also live-streamed, and also episodes of the Making Democracy Work podcast, which also includes an interview with many of the candidates, the ones who accepted the invitation. And there's one great website you can go to. I'll put it in the show notes, but visit lwvppr.org/forums2024. At that website, you'll see the schedule, and you can see all of the live streams, and you can see the playbacks of all of those live events right there on that page.
I do have one thing that's happening that wasn't going to happen. So recently, the Veterans Parade in Colorado Springs was canceled.
Yeah.
And I guess a few people protested that, even though not very many people show up to it, at least haven't in the recent past. And John O'Donnell and his company are taking it on. And there's $28,000 in change coming from the city to help pay for that. And if people wonder, where does that money go? Most of that money goes right back to the city, and most of it's for police and crowd control.
Is that $28K new money that wasn't going to the old organization in order to save
it? No, as far as I understand, there was that money allotted for the parade.
So John O'Donnell's figuring out a way to make it work. The other people,
as far as I know, yes. Okay. And if anybody can, I believe he can, because he's done it before. I was kind of dismayed that it was canceled, but I actually understood it because the numbers have been way down. And the way that things like this should happen is what people show up for. And I don't know that it's the city's job to recruit people. That should happen because of people's interest. I don't think the city should be trying to influence people to come to things. I think the art stuff, letting people know that something is happening, is not encouraging nor discouraging people to come. It's just informing. It's not, you must come to this. It's, hey, this is available, you'd be a fool not to because it's cool.
You know what the moral to this story is?
What is the moral?
Show up.
That's it.
Yeah. If you don't show up, it's going to go away. Showing up is like voting, you know? So show up, appreciate what we have, get off the couch, turn off Netflix or whatever. And, you know, in so many ways, COVID sort of turned us all into couch potatoes. We got to get that habit out of our system and come back out and show up. So when is the Veterans Day parade?
You're putting me on the spot. It's always the Saturday before Veterans Day, unless it's on Veterans Day. Veterans Day is the 11th. And
of November.
Of November. And it should be the Saturday before, which would be the 9th.
All right.
And it'll be listed on Peak Radar when we know.
There you go.
Great place, peakradar.com, if you want to know when.
I don't think they changed the date. They just changed the manager because the people who ran the parade before, the Veterans Parade, I think just gave up for lack of interest. And I don't blame them. There was very little interest in the parade. And the potential is good. The parade is a decent parade. It's one of the biggest veterans parades in the country, as you would expect in this community.
If you appreciate your veterans and you love your community, show up. Well, I think we should call it a day.
Let's do that.
All right. Thanks for listening to Loving the Springs. Follow this podcast to keep up on...
what's going on?
What's going well?
And what's going wrong?
Share it with your friends, too.
And don't forget to visit studio809podcast.com to check out all of our fine community podcasts. Find your new local favorites there.
And one last final thanks to Dylan from Copper.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Great to have you at the table with us.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Until next time.